RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headlines, newspaper, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Bappenas optimistic about achieving unemployment target of 5.6%. Conservationist on the hunt for Entites Commodus Dragons. Jakarta inflation stable during Ramadan. Now the news in detail. The National Development Planning Ministry believes that the realization of government programs in the second semester will boost the economy, including business, and reduce unemployment to the 5.6% target. Minister of National Development Planning and the head of the National Development Planning Board, Bappenas, Antonio Chaniago, said in his office on Friday that transaction and capital spending will soar in the second semester and will expand employment opportunities. He also asserted that the government capital spending will double from the last year because they will begin to feel the benefits of relocating subsidy budget to productive sectors. General Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Suryo Bambang Sulistyo, had cautioned earlier that if the government capital spending remains low, there would be higher chances of businesses conducting layoffs. The realization of budget spending is needed to expand the economic activities of private and public sectors, such as the implementation of projects that would need more workers. Is Nusa Tenggara Entity Provincial Administration and a local conservation initiative are carrying out a joint program to monitor Komodo dragons in the province over the course of the next 2 years in a bid to better map up the population spread of the endangered species in its natural habitat. NTT Natural Resources Conservation Agency BKSDA Technical Division Head Maman Suharman said the survey jointly launched by the BKSDA and the Denpasar-based Komodo Survival Program KSP Foundation in May aimed to monitor the presence of Komodo dragons by installing camera trap units in a number of surveillance areas in Flores, one of the province's largest islands and smaller islands surrounding it. The park's management has estimated that there are currently 2,500 living within the limits of the park, which is located to the west of Flores. The number of living outside the park, however, is unknown. KSP researcher Ahmad Arifandi said that joint survey would focus on mapping out the spread of Komodo dragon population in Flores and smaller surrounding islands. Jakarta enjoys stable inflation rate of 0.35% during Ramadan because of a stable food supply. A top official says the Jakarta Administration Economic Bureau head Adi Aryantara said on Friday that inflation during this year's Ramadan was the most restrained of the last 3 years. Adi said the stable inflation was due to the city administration maintaining the food supply by cooperating with the producer regions. He said the city-owned companies Market Proprietor PD Pasar Jaya and food security company Cipinan Food Station also routinely conducted market operations. Adi said the city administration could not prevent an increase in the prices of products in the market as demand was high, but it could ensure that the prices were not too expensive. The recent global economic slowdown has affected Indonesia and consumer demand has weakened. Nationally, sales of cars, motorcycles, cement, which are the main indicators of domestic consumption, had contracted 16.6%, 24.7%, 3.8%. 66 top officials from various agencies and working units have signed performance contracts with Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama or AHOT, promising to show progress in the next 3 months. During the signing ceremony at the City Hall on Friday, he warned his subordinates that he would not hesitate to demote them if their performance was poor or report them to the police if they were implicated in fraud. He also said that the personnel in the regions, the agency should not have sectoral egotism. He gave an example of parks and cemeteries officer who cleaned a path but refused to clean the road next to it. In the contrast, each agency and working unit head had set clear targets for the next 3 months. Transportation agency head Andri Yansa, for example, has ambitiously targeted the number of passengers in Trans-Jakarta buses to increase 730,000 people per day, with night buses reaching up to 547 people per day. The number of Jakarta bus passengers per day currently stands at 350,000 people. City-owned developer PT Pembangunan Jaya Ancol (PGA) is set to reopen one of its attractions in North Jakarta Ancol, the SeaWorld theme park, in spite of ongoing legal problems with PT SeaWorld Indonesia. PGA subsidiary PT Taman Impian Jaya Ancol head of water department Alan Gabi Tulangu said that the park would be open to the public starting July 17th. She went to say that Ancol had officially taken over management of the park and had renamed it SeaWorld Ancol. Gabby said that Ancol had procured 20,000 aquatic animals to display it in the SeaWorld aquariums. Gabby said that many of the SeaWorld Indonesian animals remained in the park and were still managed by the SeaWorld Indonesia, but were not on display. However, she refused to reveal how many of the SeaWorld Indonesian animals were still in the park. Gabby added that many of the SeaWorld Indonesia animals remained in the park and were still managed by the SeaWorld Indonesia, but were not on display. However, she refused to reveal how many of the SeaWorld Indonesia animals were still in the park. The circulation of counterfeit money in Jambi province has risen sharply as local authorities found 663 fake banknotes with a total value of around 56 million rupees, around 4,200 US dollars during the first 6 months of the year. Bank Indonesia Jambi office head Belosant Kalusa on Friday said that such findings were made from January until the end of June, and he believes that the circulation of counterfeit money has been rising further. Discoveries of fake banknotes have risen sharply from 2014, when he managed to discover 662 banknotes with a nominal value of almost 62 million rupiah. Carlos added that Jambi had become a center for counterfeit money circulation with transmigration settlements such as in Bungo, Tebo, and Bangko Regency and rural areas being the main target of such illegal operations. Those who have the fake banknotes, according to Karunusa, usually spend them at small kiosks at night or at gas stations. The counterfeit money is usually reported by a person. Some of the fake banknotes have also been found at money exchange counters and banks. Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs said 25 million Indonesian people belong to vulnerable groups in disasters. Director General of Protection Social Security, Minister of Social Affairs Andi Zainal Abidin Dulun said Indonesia with 254 million people ranks the fourth largest population country in the world after China, India, and United States.
Dari data tersebut, didapat asumsi 10% di antara jumlah penduduk ini adalah masyarakat rentan.
From this data, we assume 10% of the population are vulnerable people. Then no less than 25 million people in Indonesia are vulnerable communities. We see the example in the eruption of Mount Sinabung, which is still ongoing. Mount Sinabung in Karo, North Sumatra, has a population of 3,150 head of household and 10,604 million people. Among them, 5,466 are women, 1,823 comprise the elderly, pregnant women, infants, and toddlers. It shows the large number of vulnerable groups in disaster situations that need special attention.
Andy added, up to now, the government continues to strive to accelerate the receiving of the assistance, such as through the Family Welfare Card Program, Healthy Indonesian Card, and Indonesian Smart Card. The three card programs are intended not only for the general public, but also the people in the shelters. According to Law No. 24/2007, vulnerable groups consist of infants, children, pregnant and lactating women, persons with disabilities, and the elderly. Based on data from the National Disaster Management Agency, in 2014 there were 1,559 disasters in Indonesia. The disaster killed 490 and affected lives of 2 million people. Thousands of people had been displaced and many of them have lost their families' homes and belongings. The last item, Indonesia is a country prone to disaster. Rosilawati Anggraini, National Program Officer for the Humanitarian Aid Department, the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, Indonesia said that under the law, Indonesia has prioritized vulnerable groups to obtain assistance in disasters. Vulnerable groups such as pregnant women and adolescents require special treatment when staying at shelters and receiving basic health services. According to Rosilawati, various efforts had been made by the government to protect the vulnerable groups during the disasters, but those efforts still need to be improved.
In Indonesian law and law on disaster number 24/2007, there is a chapter for vulnerable groups. It says that in disaster condition, there are pregnant women, breastfeeding women, children under 5, people with disabilities, and the elderly. In the law, those people belong to vulnerable groups. So in fact, the efforts had been done, but we still have to always emphasize on the needs that are still difficult to meet.
UNFPA Indonesia has worked with the various social institutions such as Social Ministry, the Ministry of Health, the National Population Family Planning, and the National Disaster Management Agency to protect vulnerable groups in disaster situations. In commemoration of the World Population Day, and effort to increase attention to vulnerable groups is done in a team protecting vulnerable population in emergencies. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in press review. So stay tuned. Kompas newspaper in its editorial writes, anticipating homebound accidents. Traffic accidents have occurred for several times in Cikopo Palimanan, Cipalitol. According to the daily record from June 14 until June 29, 2015, there have been 37 accidents occurred in the toll. The big number of accidents within 2 weeks should be of particular concern and effort should be made to prevent the occurrence of accidents. Toll Cipali, a new toll road that is not completely perfect. Roadblock has not been fully installed, as well as the street lights. Kompas newspaper writes, police must give a warning to the drivers, including at the points where the potential for accidental may occur. Including at the points where the potential for accident may occur. The presence of police officer on the new motorway becomes a necessity during the current and foot of the Idul Fitr. According to Kompas, Idul Fitr 2015 is the first aid for President Joko Widodo's government. Many people expect the government can provide a better service to the community. The presence of the government to reduce the burden of the people who oppress the difficult of economic situation is very expected. The next review is from Media Indonesia Daily. Media Indonesia writes, anticipating procrastinator of the election. Simultaneous regional head elections, which will be held on December 9, 2015, began to get denials. Whereas the simultaneous implementation of the election has been mandated by the government regulation in lieu of Law No. 1 of 2014 concerning the election of governors, regions, and mayors. Election Commission has also decided December 9 becomes a celebration of leadership in the 269 areas. Even though December comes closer, a number of problems still twisted. From funding, which has not been fully completed, the socialization of the election in the area, until the technical staff of the simultaneous election for the first time in the history of the Republic is waited to be addressed immediately. However, instead of helping clean up, there are some who actively took a chance in the middle of the issue. Some of them even tend to hamper the implementation of the simultaneous election. In the House, for example, a number of fractions, instead to advocate delaying the implementation of the simultaneous election with various pretexts. In fact, the mandate of the simultaneous election law is the fruit of a consensus in Parliament as well. The alleged violation of diversion of funds by the National Election Commission 2013 to 2014 found by the Audit Board became the first weapon for some members of the House of Representatives. According to Media Indonesia, fortunately, the Commission supports the government's move, and so there is no reason to delay the election. Moreover, the Commission and the government, as the spearhead of the organizers, are very well prepared. Therefore, the discourse to postpone the simultaneous election in order to accommodate the interests of groups and parties should be prevented. We end with Koran Tempo. The Daily writes in its editorial, "Improve Soekarno-Hatta." A devastating fire that struck the JW lawns of Soekarno-Hatta on Sunday, July 5th, is a momentum for the government to fix the international airport. The tragic incident really ruined the reputation of the best airport in Indonesia. Airport activity paralyzed. Passengers' flights were delayed. According to Koran Tempo, PT Angkasa Pura II, as the airport manager, should be able to anticipate the adverse effects of the incident by running a good crisis management system. However, it seems the crisis management system is not running. Related to that, Director of Operations and Engineering of PT Angkasa Pura II, Joko Muriatmojo, said crisis management at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will also be repaired. Since the fire incident, Angkasa Pura II will conduct an audit on its working program because it also contains obligations to maintain the security and safety of flights. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on July 11, 1921, when Mongolia gained independence. July 11, 1921, Mongolia, a country in the central of Asia, proclaimed its independence. Mongolia is a country with ancient history and has once become a superpower state in the 13th century. At the time, Mongolia was led by Genghis Khan King, who succeeded in expanding his power from Asia until Europe. After Genghis Khan died, Mongolia was separated into two parts, namely Inner Mongolia, which was controlled by China, and Outer Mongolia. In the late 17th century, Outer Mongolia was also conquered by China. In 1911, it proclaimed its independence from China, but later it was conquered by Russia. After a communist revolution occurred in Russia in 1921, Outer Mongolia re-proclaimed its independence. In 1924, after the King of Mongolia died, revoked by Soviet, the country changed its governmental system from monarchy to become a socialist republic. And the next event was in 1995 when Srebrenica genocide occurred. The Srebrenica massacre, also known as the Srebrenica genocide, was the genocidal killing in July 1995 of more than 8,000 Bosniaks, mainly men and boys, in and around the town of Srebrenica during the Bosnian War. The killing was perpetrated by units of the Army of Republika Srpska, VRS, under the command of General Ratko Mladic. The Secretary General of the United Nations described the mass murder as the worst crime on European soil since the Second World War. A paramilitary unit from Serbia, known as the Scorpions, officially part of the Serbian Interior Ministry until 1991, participated in the massacre, along with several hundred Greek volunteers. And the next event was in 2012 when suicide bomb exploded at Yemeni Police Academy. A suicide bomb with strong explosive power happened at Yemeni Police Academy in Sana'a. At least 25 people were killed and many people were injured. According to resources, the bomber threw himself to the cadets when they left the academy after their class dismissed and exploded the bomb. Violent cases happened in Yemen since President Abdrabbuh Mansur Hadi took the power in February 2012 from President Abdullah Saleh. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on President Joko Widodo warns simultaneous election is not delayed. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, chaired a limited meeting on the simultaneous elections. The meeting was attended by relevant ministries and institutions discussing the budgets for the simultaneous local elections. The success of the elections will be the benchmark of the quality of democracy in Indonesia. The president, when opening the meeting, said, "To realize a secure simultaneous election, President Jokowi asked the coordinator, Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Minister of Home Affairs, National Police Chief, and Finance Minister, as soon as possible, coordinate on issues on the budget for security." Jokowi explained the fund for the simultaneous elections was amounted to about 7 trillion rupees, which is taken from the local governments and can be supported by the state budget in accordance with Law No. 8 of 2015 concerning elections of governors, regions, and mayor. The president reiterated that the budget from the central government will only be channeled to areas that are not able to bear the cost of organizing the elections. Besides, it is only the cost for security from the police that cannot be fully financed by the budget. Therefore, according to President Jokowi, the cost of securing can be assisted by taking some of the fund from the state budget. He also asked National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti to alert personnel optimally in order to detect potential security threats. Simultaneous local elections scheduled to be held on December 9, 2015, in the 269 regions. They consist of 9 elections for governors and vice governors, 224 electoral regions and deputy regions, as well as 36 mayors and deputy mayors. An honorary chairman of the Board of Election, Jimli Asidik, who attended the closed meeting with the president, explained to media that President Jokowi also asked the organizers of the election to treat all political parties equally, including the party that is now in conflict management, namely Golkar and the United Development Party. Therefore, Jimli appealed particularly to the conflicting parties, while waiting for final legal certainty, there should be a limited reconciliation. Jimli agreed with the Minister of Justice and Human Rights, Yasona Lawli, who said there was no other option for Golkar and PPP besides limited reconciliation and court decisions. Reconciliation is not for the staff, but in nominating candidates for regional heads. Conflicting camps must nominate the same candidates for regional head and deputy head of their party. Meanwhile, the chairman of the General Elections Commission KPU, Husni Kamil Manik, said the fate of Golkar and PPP was first taken to the tripartite forum because simultaneous local elections was ready as scheduled on December 9, 2015. The tripartite forum consists of the government, the parliament, and the election organizer. Husni explained, it must be assured that the parties that follow the elections are free from conflict. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Manar Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Saturday 11 of July 2015. Let's start the headline, Kompas Daily. In its headline, Kompas writes, when the final eruption is unknown. By the nature of the eruption, which is not too strong, but it continues, the ultimate eruption at Mount Round in East Java cannot be predicted. The potential disruption to flights will still be there as long as the mountain is active and not yet known when it will end. The conditions are described by the head of the flight meteorology of Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics, BNKG, Mustari Jatmika Heru in Jakarta on Friday. Monrun's eruption that occurred yesterday also indicates the nature of the mountain, which did not make a big eruption, but spewed out ash. He said that due to the volcanic ash on Mount Round, 300 flights were cancelled. Republika daily writes in its headline, business people are ready to invest. Business people said that they are ready to help the government overcome the economic slowdown. Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin, Suryo Bambang Sulisto, even asked the business people to work optimally so that the economy could grow again. According to him, Kadin's side observed that the government has been perceptive enough to take collective and preventive measures. Therefore, he added business people are willing to cooperate to overcome the economic problem that hit Indonesia. Listener, we end the headline with Tempo newspaper. In its headline, Tempo writes, ISIS sympathizers cannot be prosecuted. National Counterterrorism Agency BNPT declared that sympathizers of terrorist groups such as the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria or ISIS cannot be prosecuted. The existing terrorism law can only prosecute against terrorists who have allegedly proven inaction. Based on this, Deputy Repression and Development Capabilities BNPB Arif Darmawan affirmed that the police cannot take action against two pilots of Indonesia, Agusting and Tommy Hendratno Ridwan, who are allegedly sympathetic to ISIS. Therefore, BNPT calls on the Indonesian government and the Indonesian parliament to enact laws that could deal with the sympathizers. Listener, that was headlines written by some national newspaper published on Saturday 11 of July 2015. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The National Development Planning Ministry believes that the realization of government programs in the second semester will boost the economy, including business, and reduce unemployment to the 50.6% target. East Nusa Tenggara, NTT Provincial Administration and Local Conservation Initiative are carrying out a joint program to monitor Komodo dragons in the province over the course of the next 2 years in a bid to better map out the population spread of the endangered species in its natural habitat. Jakarta enjoys a stable inflation rate of 0.35% during Ramadan because of stable food supply. The Jakarta Administration Economy Bureau head Adi Arianta said on Friday that inflation during this year's Ramadan was the most restrained of the last 3 years. 66 top officials from various agencies and working units have signed performance contracts with Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, promising to show progress in the next 3 months. City-owned developer PT Pembangunan Jaya Ancol (PGA) is set to reopen one of its attractions in North Jakarta's Ancol, the SeaWorld theme park, in spite of ongoing legal problems with PT SeaWorld Indonesia. PGA subsidiary PT Taman Impian Jaya Ancol head of water department, Ellen Gaby Tulango, said that the park would be open to the public starting July 17th. The circulation of counterfeit money in Jambi province has risen sharply, as local authorities found 663 fake banknotes with a total value 56 million rupiah, around $4,200 during the first 6 months of the year. Indonesia Minister of Social Affairs said 25 million Indonesian people belong to vulnerable groups in disasters. Director General Protection and Social Security, Minister of Social Affairs Andi Zainal Abidin Dulun said Indonesia with 254 million people ranks the first largest population country in the world after China, India and United States. Indonesia's country prone to disaster. Ruslawati Anggraini, National Program Officer for the Humanitarian Aid Department, the United Nations Population Fund UNFPA Indonesia, said that under the law, Indonesia has prioritized vulnerable groups to obtain assistance in disasters. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listeners, it's a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Anya Sana. In today's edition, I will invite you to have a close look at Matras Beach in Bangka Island, Bangka Belitung Province. So stay tuned. Listeners, Matras Beach is one of the most favorite beaches in Bangka, Bangka Belitung Province, Sumatra. This 3-kilometer-long and 30-meter-wide beach is flat and has smooth sand. Because of its beauty, Matras Beach is often called Beach Heaven. Matras Beach is located at Matras Hamlet, Sinarjaya Village, Sungai Liat Sub-District, Bangka Regency, Bangka Belitung Province, Sumatra. It is in the northeast on Bangka Island. It is located around 40 kilometers from Pangkal Pinang, the capital city of Bangka Belitung Province, or 7 kilometers from Sungai Liat City. At Matras Beach, you will find beautiful scenery. The spread of sand mixed with beautiful stones around the area is like pearls. This beach is very special with smooth white sand. The location of the beach is also comfortable and quiet. Visitors can also relax while enjoying the beautiful beach scenery. At Madras Beach, there are also many bungalows which allow visitors to stay longer time at the beach. Actually, the beautiful scenery of Madras Beach is divided into two parts, in the north and the south. In the north, there is the scenery of the long beach, like an endless beach. Madras Beach is the longest beach in Bangka. While in the south, you will see the tip of the peninsula, which consists of the granite rocks of Bangka Island. And there is also a river of fresh water which can be found along the beach. Listeners, at night, visitors can enjoy the ambience at the beach while watching fishermen sailing on the sea and eat fried sweet potatoes, bananas, and enjoying beverages bought at stalls or restaurants. Listeners, next to the beach, there are some lodgings and a travel bureau. You can also buy gifts for your family and friends at the local souvenir shops. You can visit this tourism attraction by using a private vehicle or public transportation. You can take public transportation from Pangkal Pinang. From Pangkal Pinang to the beach takes 1 hour. So, if you are in Bangka, please plan your itinerary to visit beautiful Madras Beach. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting place to visit. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Betawi Batik. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesia's capital, Jakarta, can be said as the center of community life in Indonesia. Jakarta native people are known as the Betawi ethnic group. The indigenous people who used to live all over Jakarta now are beginning to withdraw to the outskirts. Development in the city is so fast and it's gradually making Jakarta native people begin looking for other areas to live, such as Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. Nevertheless, they still try to introduce a wide variety of traditions, culture, and the hallmark of Betawi. Among others, batik cloth that is often used by Betawi women. Batik is known as Indonesia's cultural heritage, very popular in West, Central, and East Jawa. Yet, batik can also be found in the metropolitan city of Jakarta, which turns out to still keep diverse cultures capable of enchanting visitors, particularly foreign ones. Talking about batik, foreign and domestic tourists are more familiar with batik from the city of Solo and Yogyakarta with elegant motifs and dominant sogan or brownish color. Meanwhile, Betawi batik has its own characteristics and motifs which, like batik from Yogyakarta and Solo, also has a deep meaning, of course. Any motif used in Betawi batik has its own meaning and philosophy and more focus on Betawi culture, which is influenced by Arabic, Indian, Dutch, and Chinese cultures. Old Betawi batik consists of several motifs, namely ondel-ondel, nusa kelapa, ciliwung, rasa mala, and salaka negara. The names used in a motif always have a meaning that contains sublime values, which is the traditional culture of Indonesia. Ondel-ondel loreng, for example. The motif is inspired by Ondel-Ondel giant doll, which is said can refute evil power. This motif contains the hope that the wearer gets a better life as well as far from evil spirit. Usually, this type of batik is used at Betawi major events. While Nusa Kelapa's design idea came from Silla map made in 1482 until 1521 in the reign of King Siliwangi. From the map, it was known that Jakarta was formerly known as Nusa Kelapa and later became Sunda Kelapa, Jayakarta, Batavia, and Jakarta. The name Nusa Kelapa is taken by ancestors of the current Betawi community to be used as a motif of Betawi batik. Meanwhile, the Ciliwung motif was taken from the idea of human civilization at the banks of the Ciliwung River. It is said that the Portuguese and the Dutch were so interested in the Ciliwung with the intention to master Betawi land. As the name implies, the use of batik is expected to make wearer becomes the center of attraction and a symbol of sustenance that keeps flowing like a river. Batik with rasa mala motif portrays the history when the Dutch entered into the territory of Sunda Kelapa. At that time, Sunda Kelapa area was still a wilderness with many rasa mala trees. Many Betawi people then considered rasa mala as a sacred tree because its bark smells so fragrant. Meanwhile, Salakanegara motif is related to the first kingdom in Betawi created by Aki Tirem in 130 AD. The name Salakanegara had something to do with the people's belief then, who thought that the mountain has the power such as Mount Salak located in the neighboring Bogor district. Betawi batik does have typical patterns and bright colors that attract the eyes of every tourist. A piece of a Betawi batik is usually priced at between 600,000 rupiahs and up. Betawi batik is indeed increasingly rare in the market, but if you are lucky, you can find it in exhibitions. Well, that was Miss Leni today featuring the story of Betawi batik and Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? send your answer along with your brief bio data, as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRA World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to a boys and root band which plays reggae genre music. Well, listeners, before we discuss the band further, let's listen to a song entitled Berangkat or Let's Go. Enjoy the song.
Kemana kita malam ini? Lama sudah tak bertemu. Adakah kau bawa cerita yang membuatku tetap tertawa? Masihkah kau seperti dulu yang ku mau selalu ada untukku? Tak perlu kau terburu-buru, yang ku mau kau pasti tahu. Ke gunung atau ke laut, mengikuti angin berhembus, menurun atau mendaki.
This band consists of Joko Wage Triyono, the vocalist, Doni Surawijaya, the bassist, Mario Marlius, the guitarist, Mulsyah Yani, the guitarist, Henry Gunawan, the drummer, and Ahmad Khairi, the percussionist. Although they play reggae genre, their performance is still elegant. Because of that, they mix various genres to become reggae music a la Boys and Root, in their first album entitled Sakai Vibration, which was launched in 2010 on Pinisi's ship on Benoa Bay, Bali, with a hit entitled Ngaku Ngaku. VOA listeners, here is Ngaku Ngaku, sung by Boys and Root Band.
Tapi gak tahu apa akuntansi gak kuya.
Yu, the vocalist of Boys and Road Band, said that his songs, which mostly talk about social life, are suitable with the taste of Indonesian people. The band realizes that reggae music has very limited fans. However, this band is not afraid of playing reggae music. Reggae is the soul of Boys and Road. The band doesn't want reggae to be underestimated. They hope to be able to socialize reggae music in the country. Listeners, that was a glimpse of a reggae band, Boys and Road. And to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Boys and Root entitled Get Up and Sandra. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Yeah.
Tak. Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.